League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Della Torre.
Same corner, same time, new year. How y'all boys feeling? Y'all good?
Happy New Year, boys.
Happy New Year.
It's a good year. I'm up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Silk, a couple years ago, we had the opportunity to talk about me shooting off a cannon, and I'm at the exact same place. So who knows? Might be firing off a cannon or two tonight.
You got a real cannon this time? You got the baby cannon?
Same size cannon.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
They haven't upgraded the cannon yet.
Haven't upgraded the cannon.
The cannon trading market
was a little down over the last 2 years, so haven't been able to upgrade.
The COVID supply chain issues have really hit cannon supplies. But,
yeah, I can see that.
I'll tell you what, that being the thing. I'm getting ready. Getting these cannon hands ready.
Amen. Cannon market hasn't really picked up since the bubonic plague, Dan.
need a reason to fire off cannons, but soon come.
Soon come. So, Nick, you guys have a good New Year. You guys do anything last night?
I went out to dinner at, like, the most watched time. We had reservations at 6:15.
Good.
We ate 6:15. You know, everything's not running on time, so we didn't sit down to like 7 something. But I was home by like 9. Just watched some college football. Unfortunately, Georgia had another wide receiver get hurt, and it benefited them greatly, man. But I just ate dinner at Carmine's in Palm Beach Gardens. Mm. Great restaurant right off of PGA. Good vibes. Had some Italian dinner, fish. What about you?
Easy for me. Just stayed in, watched college football. Two great playoff games. Wild one of the most egregious wide lefts I've ever seen. Like right as the ball drops. My mom was like, "Flip over so we can watch the ball drop." And me and my dad are like, "They are trying to kick the game-winning field goal right now. That's the ball that we're going to be watching, not anyone in Times Square." But yeah, just hung out with the fiance, mom, dad, watching football all day.
Yeah, TCU Michigan game was incredible. That third quarter. I'm over here in Raleigh. I'll be back in Tampa tomorrow. That's why we're recording on a Sunday instead of Monday. I got to spend all day driving tomorrow. But here in Raleigh, we went over to Brooks. We're at Brooks' sister's house, and we went over to their friend's place and we were watching. And you know, trying to mingle and get to know everybody that was there. But that third quarter was happening, and you know, you would see them score a touchdown, you turn away to talk and just, you know, carry on. And then you turn away, you know, turn back to the TV and there's another touchdown. You do the same thing. There's another touchdown. So really good game. Congrats to TCU. That's cool to see them win and a new team get there. And then unfortunately, you know, Georgia won. So is what it is. Hoping TCU can figure out a way to win this one.
Yeah. Good luck with that, bro.
Yeah. No, I don't see it happening, but you know,
OSU blew the church's money, man. They had one job, dog, and they had them against the wall. Harrison getting hurt. I don't want to talk too much about this Georgia game, but Harrison getting hurt changed everything down the stretch for them. That last second timeout that the ref decided to give Kirby on the fake punt. All of that was just like, you know, storytelling, national championship vibes, man. So hopefully the Frogs can pull it off, but I'm not optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Horn. Yeah, what this big is what horn. They do, right? Yeah, big horns.
Big horns.
All right, boys, let's get into the show. We got some big news in Gator Nation. As always, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Allen Horn Insurance over there in Jasper, Georgia, which I believe is near Valdosta, right? So 706-692-2888. If you're in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama, give him a call. Life insurance, car insurance, boat insurance, renter's insurance, boat life, whatever it might be, give him a call, 706-692-2888, or Allen Horn, that's A-L-A-N-H-O-R-N-E, insurance.com. Again, Allen Horn Insurance, or 706-692-2888. All right, gentlemen, about a week and a half ago, Edgar Thompson from the Orlando Sentinel put a tweet out that was quickly deleted that said defensive tackle Cameron Jackson from the Memphis Tigers would be transferring to the University of Florida. He had not entered the transfer portal. His team had not yet played at that point. Regardless of that news, a few days later, he enters the transfer portal and on today's Sunday. So on Friday night, Cameron Jackson announced that he would be committing to the University of Florida. He had scheduled a visit for next week, but obviously a huge get for the Gators.
Things sped up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Has 3 years to play too. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. In 2022, he is a redshirt sophomore. In 2022, had 41 tackles, 2.5 for a loss, and a sack. Pro Football Focus had him as a 76.4 against the run and a 72.6 against the pass as a redshirt sophomore. 6'5", 271 pounds.
Big weight.
Silk, give me your thoughts on Cameron Jackson.
First of all, shout out to Edgar Gunner.
Yeah, got it. Hey,
man, snitch so hard.
Man had that scoop. Man had that scoop. Listen, not only your rivals, only your rivals tamper. Florida would never.
Mm-mm. I mean, I just
we're the only ones getting told on.
Yeah. Anywho, despite the tampering, despite the allegation of tampering, I would say we was able to pull this. So I know some fans were like kind of nervous. Oh, can we still even recruit this kid after Edgar kind of spilled the beans there a little bit? But a great get, putting that size of a body right beside Deshaun Watson is just crazy. We got Caleb Banks as well as a defensive tackle. So that room is flipping. You could consider the recruiting class and also what we bring in the portal. That room is damn near flip. I wouldn't mind one more. But a guy that LSU and Miami was after, and it sped up a little bit, I think, because of Miami shenanigans. We know how Miami get down. As soon as I seen him go in the portal, and then right away I get a text, hey, Miami's entering the picture. I was like, man, here it is, go again. But Billy and the guys were able to shore him up without a visit. I know he said he was coming next week, but he ended up saying he was making a decision Christmas Eve night. Was that Christmas Eve night? My mistake.
Yeah.
The night before Christmas Eve, I believe. Christmas Eve's Eve. Anywho, 8 p.m. rolled around. He committed. His recruitment was still going after that. I don't think Miami gave up just because he said he was coming, but they was able to pull him in. A great need, man. We got to shore up both sides of the trenches. Defense is starting to get there a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I've been doing a breakdown position by position. I've gotten everything covered, I think, except corners and special teams. The room definitely flipped. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys coming back in that defensive end slot. So I kind of slid Tyreek Sapp back there. Florida told me that Cameron, that Cameron is more of a defensive tackle than a nose tackle. So I think you put him, like Silk just said, you kind of put him next to Dez Watson. I really like Chris McClellan. That room's pretty deep. I mean, obviously there's a lot of freshmen. We'll get into the Under Armour stuff, like how Will Norman's looking. But, I mean, that dude does not look 300 pounds. It doesn't move like he's 300 pounds. So there's a lot of guys there. I don't know how great they are. Like, I don't know if that's, you know, the strength. But as I go through and look at all these, I looked at defensive line. I'm like, in terms of top-end talent and depth, I think it might be one of the best rooms now on the team heading into 2023.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that you probably want to get, what do you think, one more defensive tackle?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not a nose tackle necessarily, but.
Yeah, well, I just saw Rob posting there. I mean, Cameron Banks looks like an offensive tackle. Caleb Banks looks like an offensive tackle. Kind of just long and lean. I don't think he's.
They say he can play both, and they. I think he played a little bit of both, and he had some like practice film at both at Louisville. I'm not mistaken. But you think he looks a little lean, like an offensive tackle?
I think he's looking a little light to play defensive tackle. I don't think he's defensive end. I slid him in at defensive tackle in my breakdown. But when I look at that defensive tackle room, I think he's probably, in my opinion right now, granted, I haven't seen him live. A lot of this is kind of me projecting stuff right now. But, I mean, I'd put him behind Cameron Jackson and Tyreek Sapp at defensive tackle. So I think right now you're looking at a depth piece. But listen, when you were talking about the interior defensive line, Florida needed depth. I mean, the Gators were looking crazy last year having Gervon Dexter play like 68 snaps versus Utah. Like, that's wild. But it just shows you that you needed the depth. So I think that's part of the
recruiting the portal, though. You can't just get absolute starters. You're going to have to get depth pieces. So every name isn't going to be an absolute superstar, a name that was a former five-star recruit or anything like that. So you need guys that can rotate in and be able to play snaps and also come in injury situations.
And that's where I think, if just off topic real quick, I think that's what they need to do at running back as well. Like, you look wild going into a season with three scholarship running backs. Wild.
Right.
But how do you sell that to a redshirt junior transfer portal kid? Hey, we have two guys who almost ran for 1,000 yards last year. You want to come and chill? You want to come and chill with them? So, like, that's why when they offered the I can't remember where he went. I think it was like North Carolina A&T. When they offered him, I'm like, okay, maybe. But that kid's also trying to go somewhere to get some run to then show, hey, I can play at this P5 level and get drafted. So I wonder if Florida needs to turn back to the high school ranks. I'm assuming Montrell Johnson has another year like he did and he's gone. So that 2023 running back room with those three guys doesn't scare off a freshman or a high school recruit as much as it would a junior in the transfer portal or a guy who has 1 year of eligibility left. But I think you need to add another running back.
Yeah, just so following Nick, the follows. I'm sorry, real quick. This is a smaller tidbit. Just following the follows. It looked like they're going after like a FCS.
Yeah,
freshman sophomore type running back right now, it seems, just from following the follows of the staff.
That's realistically what you can land, right?
Right.
Well, that's realistically what you want, right? You know, Florida has themselves in a position where, you know, you have Johnson and ETN next year, assuming Montrell Johnson has another good year. Then you have ETN, you have Webb, you have any number of, you know, probably need at least two in the recruiting class next year. They wanted two in this class. You know, I don't know what the prospects and what the relationships of those that look like otherwise are. You know, but I think the opportunity is you sell, hey, you know, we ran a lot of three back rotations, you know, some three back rotation stuff last year or this past season. You bring in another guy and say, hey, next year we're going to need another workhorse with ETN. Cause I think if you look back at all of Napier's career, he's always relied on two quarterbacks very heavily. So that's going to fall on recruiting more than it is just, is there an opportunity today? It's an opportunity of, hey, we need you, you know, next year and the year after. So I think it makes sense from what both of you guys are saying about, you know, getting either that FCS person or that person that's maybe a little bit buried on a depth chart somewhere that's looking to come home that might be able to spell something. But Florida definitely has a precarious situation there. But I think that this staff absolutely needs to figure out one more person. And Nick, the question I was going to ask you is, I think that you posted that the Gators have 76 scholarship athletes right now.
So my scholarship had 77, then you take off Rashad Torrance 76, but then you add Cameron Hema back to 77 now.
Okay, so that gives them 8 theoretical opportunities, right? I don't imagine that all 8 will get taken up. I know you're gonna give some walk-ons and stuff like that, some stuff. So let's just say the Gators are probably looking for what, five to seven? Yeah.
10. As I'm going through, it was kind of an exercise for me personally, and my opinion will certainly change after I see these guys, but it was an exercise for me kind of just to familiarize myself room by room doing this series, like 10, like the 85 is a fictional number until fall camp. So don't worry about the scholarship numbers right now. Like, you need to be 85 when fall camp starts.
Oh, no, for sure. No, I'm just thinking of what can a reasonable fan expect over the next couple of weeks? We've got 17 days, I think we determine, in terms of transfer portal and everything else, right?
Yeah, 17 days.
You have two windows. So what do you think about fall camp? We need to be at a certain – are you trying to add those 10? Because I can foresee them getting – I don't know if another 10 by, like, the 17th.
No. When I say that, I'm looking at glaring holes, whether it's depth or you need better players, you need starters. And I'm like, you need to get in as many as possible. I'm not saying, like, Florida will get 10 by January 18th. Remember, Ricky Pearsall was, you know, a post-spring ad or a second portal spring ad last year.
Right.
There's going to be guys, you know, that hit the portal after spring. And that might be Florida guys, like guys at Florida that are like, hey, I was going to give it a shot. But, you know, Florida's got like 16 kids coming in. Like, hey, I'm a redshirt sophomore. I'm not going to play this year. This true freshman is going to get some run this year. He might overtake me. I need to go somewhere else. So you're going to get more portal movement in that 2-week period come spring. So when I say 10, I think there's just so much. There's so many glaring holes at position groups, whether it's depth or you need a top end starter, that I think Florida needs to be aggressive, more aggressive, and maybe we'll see some guys, you know, that play bowl games. There's a bunch of bowl games tomorrow. Maybe guys are just waiting to hit the portal. Go ahead.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that, like, more of the guys they want are more like my guy Cameron Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe Edgar Gunner, because he has that information already. He knows that type of stuff. But I'm hoping that they're just guys, and that's just the game. You know, I'm not saying that they do this. This is just us talking on stage in Miguel. But hopefully they're tampering with some rosters, bro. That
Allegedly. All tampering is alleged.
Correct, because we need offensive linemen. Shout out to Michael Tarquin. He ends up at USC out there in California after transferring. So our biggest glaring needs right now, after assuring the D-line a little bit, and I still wouldn't mind a couple pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
But offensive line.
Tackle is scary. Sure. Tackle's scary. You've got four tackles. They moved Cam Waits in the middle of last year. They moved him from tackle to guard. The staff feels that his mobility, his quickness, his footwork, that he needs players on either side of him, that he's more of a guard. But you've got four tackles.
They keeping him at guard?
I mean, listen, like, when you look at the roster, your offensive tackles right now on the roster are William Harrod, Austin Barber, Jordan Herman, and David Connor. The only one that's really played in that group is Barber. So do you have to move Cam Waits back? I mean, you've got a bunch of guards, Simmons, Leonard, Farmer, Williams, Kearney, Lovett coming in. I think Najee Harris will fill in at center, but like you need tackles.
And I know that there's a name we can, there is a name. Do you feel comfortable talking about him, Nick?
Yeah. Walter Rouse from Stanford. Yeah. He was a 4-year starter, left tackle at Stanford. Really smart kid. I mean, that probably goes without saying. You know, being from Stanford, right. he took a visit to Auburn. Florida's actively recruiting him, trying to get him in for a visit. Would be a grad transfer. Ton of playing time. Ton of experience. If Florida were to land him, I think you've got your starting tackles in. And Barber and Rouse, yeah. I think it's Rouse. And if you're a kid from Stanford, no slight to the University of Auburn, if you're a kid who went to Stanford and graduated with a degree in 4 years, probably want to go to a school like Florida, just academic wise.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to pull up the rankings here for on threes. Portal, when it comes to offensive tackles, we've got Gunnar Britton from Western Kentucky. That's highly regarded. He's uncommitted. Outside of that, man,
there's not a lot of depth there.
You have Kenyatta Goodwin from Kentucky. You have Walter Rouse. He's ranked as the 19th best tackle. And then, you know, Chris Walker from, I don't even know what school this logo is. One moment here, Montana, from the Montana Grizzlies. And then you start working your way down to a number of folks. But if you were to look at your top 10, only two are uncommitted. If you look at your top 20, only three more are uncommitted. So of the top 20, only five aren't. And a lot of those that are not committed are being, you know, crystal balled or you know, in the recruiter, you know, prediction ratings that that On3 has for other schools. So opportunity is pretty limited in terms of tackle. So, I mean, on offense, we agree. And this, maybe we can have a bigger discussion here on just like activity itself, right? You need probably help at quarterback. I don't know what you do or who you get or how you get a quarterback, right? But you bring in Graham Mertz, you have Jack Miller, you have Max Brown, and then you have Jalen Kitnam. Are you comfortable with those four or not? Does Florida want to try to get maybe another? I don't know. It seems like they might be comfortable with those four. You need somebody else at running back. You probably need somebody at tight end, and then you definitely need somebody at the offensive line. You probably need at least four people right there just on the offensive side of the ball, and right now the Gators have zero.
Well, I think and I'm going to butcher the name. I don't know how to say it. I think you're done at tight end. Unless Keon Zipper leaves, but I think I've got Florida at seven right now. Andrew Savinia.
Yeah. I thought he was.
They moved him towards the end of last year. They moved him towards the end of last year to tight end, and I think that'll be a move that they stick with. I just don't see him making an impact where he was with the Jack linebackers.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, right. You got to pick.
I had him still listed as an offensive linebacker. That's what I was, or outside linebacker.
And then going back to like the sale thing, like if you're selling running back, that's a tough sell to a guy in the transfer portal. What is your sales pitch to an elite tight end? If there's a Kyle Pitts in the 2023 class, what are you showing him from your UL film or your Florida film to be like, hey man, you should come here and do this?
I mean, the only thing that you can sell, right, is that a lack of product, a lack of the person in that role and saying, hey, this is what we want to do and this is what we can do and this is what opens up in our offense, right? But it's kind of similar to like Mike Gesicki with the Dolphins, right? Like he doesn't fit Mike McDaniel's, you know, offense, and it's kind of a square peg round hole. You try to, you know, throw some balls, you know, to him to try to make him, you know, somewhat happy, but it's just not working. And I think that you saw that with offensive or with tight end in the offense last year. But you're right. I don't know what you do, but at some point you need help there, right? Because you don't have good blockers or you don't have good pass catching tight ends. You kind of have average at both, and they definitely need some help there. You know, so in my opinion, the Gators absolutely need a quarterback. I mean, you can push somebody out, you know, after the spring.
Quarterback, you say?
Yeah.
Quarter.
Yeah. Oh. We're talking just on offense right now. I think the Gators need help there. I think that room is not good. Whether they do or not, I don't know, but I do not think that that's a room that I feel confident in right now. Running back, you need that for depth. Offensive line, you need a tackle.
Well, let's stop and go. And I want to talk about quarterback real quick. I'm kind of learning that you take Billy Napier when he says things, because he will be very guarded. We get a lot of coach speak. But when Billy Napier, when I asked him, I was like, hey, what are you doing at quarterback? It's like, you've got two scholarship guys and you're bringing in a third. Do you want four? Do you want five? He said, we're going to go into the portal. They got one of Graham Mertz and we're going to get a preferred walk-on. They got a preferred walk-on. I tend now, and this is just 1 year of covering Billy Napier. I tend to take him at his word. And I think Florida's done unless Max Brown leaves, unless Jack Miller leaves, and like Jack Miller shouldn't be allowed to leave because he was already in the portal. But like,
well, if he graduates, I mean, he's been here a year. He was at Ohio State, a year and a half. So like, theoretically, the way that these kids do school, like you can get done in 2.5-3 years.
The NCAA is not challenging waivers either. Like who's the kid from Slovis is on like his fourth school.
Yeah. Like, BYU.
NCAA is just like, yeah, man, sure. You want to leave? Go ahead. Like the NCAA went to Congress, asked for help. Congress was like, let's look at your antitrust, your tax exemption. And they were like, you know what? Let the kids have fun. Let them do what they want to do. So unless there's movement out of the quarterback room, I think Florida's done. And that's your room. I think Jack Miller, I think fans are jumping off the Jack Miller train too early. I don't think Jack Miller is an all SEC quarterback by any means, but like fans saw him in a glorified scrimmage, a glorified practice, and then in a game without Florida's, I'll say second best receiver in Justin Shorter, and without their best offensive lineman, you're playing a team that really wanted to be there to win their 10th game versus you're leading a bunch of guys who were really happy to go to Las Vegas and then, you know, be there early enough to go home and spend time with their family for Christmas. So I think, I don't think Graham Mertz is the day one starter either. I think those two will battle it out.
Maybe, I don't know what Graham Mertz expects or not. I think, you know, in terms of productivity and what they've been able to produce, that Graham Mertz probably goes in as your starter over Jack Miller, just strictly because he's done better than Jack Miller has in the opportunities that he's had. Now, obviously, there's going to be learning the offense and being able to put two and two together. But, I mean, in my opinion, and Silk, I don't know what your thoughts are here, is I would imagine that Mertz expects that he is the starter going into next season. And I don't know if he's told differently.
I don't know if he's – I don't think they promised him the job. Just I don't think he's good enough for that type of promises. I think Mertz is looking for a place and an opportunity, and that's what they gave him. I think we'll see that too when the reps start getting distributed in spring. I think they'll be pretty 50-50 between him and Jack Miller. There's going to be a competition. Competition is just going to bring out the best of him anyway. I don't have an opinion on who may win that job. I do have like this – it's just like it's a crapshoot on like guessing it. I'm with Nick. I don't think we learned a lot about anything new from Jack Miller that game. My opinion is could one of these guys turn into Hendon Hooker and Bo Nix and turn their career around with a new coach, older in the system, a little bit more mature at a new destination? That's possible. I ain't banking on it, but you know we got to see guys like. I was high on Joe Milton coming out of high school, and he just had a very
good, really good Orange Bowl.
Yeah, and you just watched the close to his season, and it just like don't look like the same guy. Went to Michigan, and then when he first got to Tennessee, he struggled for more as well. So the light could come on for these guys this season. Who knows? But I don't have an opinion on who in the hell gonna win that job. And also, I don't see anything in the portal. Like, who do you go get out of it? Right. It's easy to say we need another quarterback, dog, but who? All of them, most of those guys entering the quarterback and entering the portal as a quarterback are damaged goods that everybody's like, why are we bringing them here?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, in my opinion, I think that Mertz is coming in as the expected starter. I think that if you were to create a depth chart right now, based on hypotheticals, that Mertz would be listed as your starter. I don't think that you leave Wisconsin, you know, and I know that Mertz didn't have a fantastic career at Wisconsin. I know that he was very up and down and fans are very shaky on him, you know, but I don't think that you leave Wisconsin and go to a school like Florida when there's a lot of other options that he could have gone where the expectation would be that he would start if he's not at least in the driver's seat to start. I've not seen Jack Miller really put anything together. I'm not saying that he couldn't, you know, in the spring game and in the bowl game. Yes, I know one's a glorified scrimmage and the other one was basically a glorified scrimmage on the Gators end. I don't know if I see it all work together right now.
Shout out to Nicholas Mertz down there in the chat.
Yeah, Nick Mertz here in the chat. Chris,
listen. He's got a bunch of playing experience in that's big time football in the Big Ten, playing in Wisconsin. Had a bad year last year.
Totally different offense.
He was not promised the starting job, but he's going to come in and compete for it. If he doesn't win it, then that means Jack Miller earned it. Cool. Mm-hmm. If he does win it, then that means he came in and he earned it. And that's all I'm saying. We're not sleeping on your brother there, Nicholas.
Chris Sorley, just, big fan of the show, says that we're sleeping on Max Brown.
No.
All right. Yeah. All right, Chris.
Chris, appreciate Happy New Year, bro. You're listening, but I don't think that the Gators are sleeping on Max Brown. I was never a big fan of the Max Brown take to begin with. Not personal. I just think that the, you know, Gators were in a situation of desperation with 5 weeks in their recruiting cycle to grab a quarterback. So, well, we'll see. So on the offensive side of the ball, we think the Gators need help at the tackle position.
I just a couple guys tackle-wise, like there aren't just like these big names. Marcellus Johnson out of Eastern Washington, who's like a 3-year starter. Graded out as like one of the, I think, top two linemen in FCS or whatever Eastern Washington is. Another guy, all that stuff out of Utah. There's a lot of players out of Utah State that are just bolting. They have a freshman that started at tackle. I think it's like Weslin Lapuka or something like that. He's a true freshman offensive tackle. Samoan, you already know what the bloodline is like with those kids. Or Western Pacific, whatever that's called.
This is a kid that I need on my team.
From that,
look at this guy,
Silk. This guy's a five-star offensive tackle right here.
Three-star player, seven-star beard.
Yeah, bro.
I mean,
he got a fan.
Look at that.
Tilly. Is that Tilly? Yeah.
Hey, that might be Tilly. That might be Tilly.
Shout out to Tilly. He found some eligibility.
Oh,
you can use him at OT. Who's Chris Walker? Give me some more information. I think I read
about
him.
Nothing
well.
About him. No, I just saw his beard here on three. He's from Montana, class year 2017, 6'6", 275. Went to Nebraska, then to Montana. It looks like on three has him ranked as their, I think 10th. No, somewhere. He's on this list somewhere. Oh, 24th best. So if you go down here, there's just not a lot of people, right? I mean, you know, Gunnar Britton from Western Kentucky, originally from Conway, which is there in South Carolina. And then, you know, PJ Williams from A&M. You know, right now that looks like an SMU-Colorado battle. This is Kenyatta Goodwin from Kentucky. Walter Rouse, who we talked about.
Like Kenyatta Goodwin, that's just a name. Like,
right,
Kenyatta Goodwin hasn't touched the field. There's questions about his work ethic and a whole lot of other stuff, but he's
for sure
he's going to be ranked off of just a name. Like, offensive tackle, what I'm looking for in the transfer portal and the offensive line is experience, like snaps, film that we can see in actual production from.
Right. It's kind of like John Campbell, right? I mean, same thing in Miami. Just not a lot of production, not much there.
Right.
Just going through this list here.
What do they have? Have they updated? What do they have, my man, Ethan White, at? Just curious.
They might have.
I think he's in the teens. He's an interior offensive lineman. He'd be in the teens. 10, 11. Ninth
on IOL. So, Nick, have you heard any smoke about Ethan White?
No, I really haven't. I don't really see him returning, though.
Yeah, no, I think that we kind of thought that the way that it was written last week when Ethan White's name got announced, that we just didn't see it as a huge possibility there. Let's give a quick shout out, though, to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them on Archer Road or visit them at alumnihall.com. Cold weather apparel, whether it's t-shirts or, well, that's not cold weather apparel, whether it's sweaters, jackets, hoodies, whatever it might be, go visit our friends over at Alumni Hall. They're on Archer Road or again on alumnihall.com. Best place to get Florida Gators merchandise in probably the widest selection from cups to shirts to koozies to really anything in between. So again, alumnihall.com. Yeah, just trying to think any other Gator players that might be in the transfer portal that we want to talk about. Nick, I know that there's a name. Oh, let's talk about defensive side of the ball. Sorry, we're just on offense. That's where my mind was going. Defensive side of the ball, you add Caleb Banks. You add Cameron Jackson.
I think you could stand to add a receiver, too, before we move off.
Oh,
a receiver, yeah, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we move off of, you know, I'm still personally waiting for a Ricky Pearsall decision. He's been going back and forth between leaving and staying. The rest of the room is Frazier's, Henderson, Ty Bowman, Jamarcus Weston, Marcus Burke, Caleb Douglas, and then the three freshmen. So where receiver is a place where you could absolutely stand to get somebody and get somebody quick.
You think that that's a now thing, or do you think that that might be a decision after the spring practice?
You can wait till after spring. You can see like a guy like Ricky, especially if you're getting an older guy who's played some.
Yeah, because that's when they got Ricky and Ty, and I know Ty was a little bit different, but he was a JUCO guy, right?
Yeah, being a JUCO guy, yeah. It's just a position where you can kind of plug and play a little more so than, you know, a center or an offensive tackle or a safety or, you know, a middle linebacker where you're, you know, really entrusted with, you know, a lot more in terms of scheme and doing things other than receiver. It's like, hey, here's your routes. Here's your plays and don't mess that up.
Yeah. And I mean, the Gators have really relied heavily on the transfer portal between, you know, Van Jefferson, Trevon Grimes, Shorter and Pearsall to anchor that wide receiver group. It's kind of hard to believe that the Gators for the first time in a while have finally recruited in an ability to hopefully have those guys be some homegrown talent rather than having to go to the transfer portal with the group that they got in this group. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Thanks for bringing that up, Nick. Defensive side of the ball, the Gators get some help on the defensive line. Do you think that they're done there? Because we want to talk definitely about linebacker, where we think there's going to be some big movement ahead.
Looking at like the line, I think we're good. We kind of talked about them a little bit already when we were mentioning Banks and Jackson. I think you could stand. You probably should go after an edge rusher. Looking at that position, you've got
Byron Antoine Pons. Utah there you go. State. Byron Pons. I'm telling you, Utah State got some work out there. He's originally from Texas, played at Texas, transferred to Utah State, had 100 tackles the last two seasons. Ooh. Cut on the film. The kid's absolute animal. A lot of people not talking about him, but when you cut the film on, you want him on your campus, man.
What was his name again, so?
Byron Vaughns. Vaughns with an S. V-A-U-G-H-N-S. I think I spelled that right. Byron Vaughns.
He's an edge?
Correct. Kick and play.
I don't see him on threes rankings, but I mean, we've seen some egregious things from.
I took the holidays off. Who knows, man? These are like new Porter guys. I don't know how updated it is, but I'm telling you, just like from production standpoint, it's some good programs like Utah State and Memphis that are losing some guys, some Sunday guys.
Yeah, looking through. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, going through the edge rushers here, you know, Donnell Harris is a guy that people have heard about. I don't, you know, expect.
Yeah,
he's made some visits.
He also had he medically retired. I don't know what the health issue was. And we know how Florida is with, you know, health screenings and stuff. So he's a guy who like medically retired and unretired, then went in the portal. And I really haven't heard much about Florida going after him.
Yeah, no, a lot of these big names, like I think Selk made a really good point. A lot of people just remember these names from when they were being recruited and not necessarily where they're at now. When you look at edge rushers, Randall Bothroyd from Wake Forest, they have him ranked number 3 overall. He's undecided. From Wyoming, I'm not even gonna try. Oluwase.
Yeah,
Omotosho, App State and Virginia Tech. Definitely an interesting pair there. He's number 7. Daniel Greziak from Utah State. They have him between San Jose State, SMU, and maybe a few others. Donnell Harris at number 13 is undecided.
Where is Gilbert Edmond?
Gilbert Edmond is number 38 right now. Richard, sophomore out of South Carolina. Again, you can take all of these rankings in, you know, with a pretty large grain of salt. He was a 3-star out of high school, 3-star now, originally from Fort Pierce, Florida. Obviously, the Gators have a lot of connections down to Fort Pierce, you know, through, you know, on-field staffers and off-field staffers. So, you know, certainly could be a connection there. But Gilbert Edmond right now, 38th overall in edge rushers.
I would remember that name.
Yep. Gators are going. big name to go after there. Let's see, Nick, let's talk about linebackers a little bit, maybe a name to consider.
Okay. Name. I just said Byron Vaughn, yeah. Notre Dame just offered.
Just there you go.
Georgia Tech, Cal. Now, just like the regular recruits, watch the kids like the transfer, their offer list as well. It means a little bit different. But Notre Dame,
yeah, Florida. I'm working on this because you haven't seen guys really announce their Florida offers. And I wonder if that's something that Florida is asking them not to, or maybe it's just the guys that they're talking to. But it would certainly be helpful. Anyone in the portal listening to the show, please tweet your Florida offers. Very, very helpful.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that last week, right? That, like, we just don't see Florida's name. Like, even, you know, Cameron Jackson and Caleb Banks, I don't know if they announced that they had Florida offers.
No, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Moving to linebacker, though, Dan, I've got five guys there right now. I think I would probably project Derek Wingo, Shamar James to start. You've got Terhada Mitchell, Scooby Williams.
That's still not official, right? I mean, obviously now that Ohio State's out, it could be soon, but.
Right, right. He's in the portal, but remained with the team. He's been there 5 years. He'll be a six-year senior linebacker. Only played in four games. Once he realized, I think early on in the year, that he was going to hit the portal. Kind of just sat out, did not want to waste his red shirt. His red shirt is what will allow him to play next year. So he redshirted technically in 2022 and would be able to play with Florida in 2023 as his last year. A guy that's been kind of productive, maybe not as productive as his high school star rating, but once you get to campus, your high school star rating doesn't mean much. That's a position where I think you need to go out and get another guy. You play two middle linebackers, you know, that inside linebacker spot, you play two, and right now you barely have a two deep. I think there's some other names. I think Will Breland's a guy that I'd look at. He's from the University of West Florida. Florida fans who wanted, who was that quarterback who's at Western Kentucky now but came to West Florida?
Reed.
But a 220-pound linebacker from Mobile, I think Flores been in contact with him. I really do like, and I kind of made this, and maybe if you guys have watched him, and maybe I'm off, I love Jaden Robinson.
Yeah.
I get big, like, Antonio Morrison, Jared Davis vibes. Like, really, really quick, laterally, sideline to sideline.
I like
those guys. And just enjoys violence. Like, it really enjoys hitting. Old school kind of linebacker for me. So that's kind of why I comp him to those two guys, those two Gator guys.
Yeah, Jaden Robinson was recently named as Lake City Reporter, the newspaper up there, as their defensive player of the year. I like him a lot. Good get for the Gators. Stole him from South Carolina. Gators desperately need help at linebacker. No matter how well you think that Shamar James played at times this year, or, you know, can Derek Wingo live up to that high four-star, five-star potential that he had coming out of St. Thomas Aquinas. But the Gators desperately need help there. Nick mentioned the name Will Breland that's out there. But again, if you look at the linebacker rankings, a lot of players that are, you know, have been highly regarded coming out of the transfer portal that you're familiar with have already picked schools. So again, the Gators probably need to add, in my opinion, probably at least one more name there. It's kind of surprised the Gators didn't go after Amari Gaynor. He ends up going to North Carolina from Florida State. But again, a lot of names. Ish Harris was a popular name out of high school from Texas A&M. He's in the portal now. But again, a lot of names that are out there. But again, still not seeing a ton of activity, in terms of linebacker names. Are you guys, like, surprised about this, or are you surprised that you don't hear a lot of things? I mean, kind of what's your take?
just understand this, how they're moving. Like, we're not going to know exactly who they are offering. You're going to have to, like, do some research and watch the follows a little bit to see which part of the staff and personnel is in contact with players to kind of, like, read between the lines. But it's just not a lot of – these guys aren't sitting around with their hands under their ass.
Oh, sure.
It's just, like, a lot of information is not being said out there. But the linebacker that's coming from the same place we just got our defensive tackle, forget his name, but Jed, whatever – there's some kids out here that can play. And if you watch the follows, I know our staff is in contact with these guys. It's just how the fans want to get the information and how they put it out is probably the biggest thing right now. But I don't think there's any inactivity. I think they're a little bit more decisive about who they want to get here. They had the defensive tackle in mind. Cameron Jackson, they had him kind of dialed up. And even when Miami tried to pursue and jump in between that, they were able to close in fairly quickly because they had a plan. The kid wasn't even in the portal, and we already knew what was going to happen. I think there's more kids like that, and I think there's more kids as these bowl games end as well. Better teams are ending their bowl games, and as you see, a lot of kids are just entering the portal, whether the team are good teams or not, whether they're starters or not. So it's a lot of opportunity out here. I think as the bowl games continue the next couple of days, you're going to see more and more into the portal. And I think being decisive and going after your guy and getting him in here at positions of need is more. And I'm not on the star thing in the transfer market. Mm-hmm. You got to add starters and players that contribute to your roster and come in folds of who you're trying to get these players from matter. The stars in this transfer stuff is just people caught up in, like, just like I said, the former names. Like, some of these names, like Toronto Mitchell is just like another one. I'm just like, all right, if he comes, cool, but that's just a big name that we know from the recruiting process. But I think there's more linebackers that with more productivity in the portal, man. It's a slew of talent, guys that could play for the University of Florida right now, guys that are coveted. A lot of these dudes didn't hit the portal with a destination in mind. They're kind of letting it play out a little bit. There's plenty of time. I think people are just panicking and losing their mind over absolutely nothing right now. I think there's plenty of players and plenty of time to fill the roster out.
Yeah, Nick, and you're on mute. I want to just hop in. You know, Gator fans, you know, were excited about the get of Jalen Kimber last year from Georgia. They got him on January 15th. So if we're talking about another, 17 days here left of the transfer portal, there's still a lot of time. There's still a lot of activity that's going to happen over the next few weeks. So I don't want Gator fans that see, FSU getting a lot of big names, and I think that, again, if you go back to Silk's example of a lot of these are big names out of high school, some of these guys that are even highly ranked, on some of these transfer portal rankings aren't because they, in my opinion, have the most production or they're going to be the best players. It's just more of a household name or maybe a name that they were, well-regarded as a four-star. They did pretty well at whatever school that they were at. So we're going to keep them high just because it seems like it could make sense. I think that Florida is probably going to add at least three or four more names over here in the next couple of weeks that I think that are going to be, solid and, contribute, players to the team next year. And then you'll see how that goes, against, Mike Norvell's strategy of not being a great high school recruiter and trying to, plug and play out of the, transfer portal. But I know a lot of Gator fans are a little weary, right now, cause they just got another good, well-regarded player out of the transfer portal, in the cornerback transfer from Virginia. But, I think that Florida's probably attacking this a little bit differently than Florida State has to in terms of how they're going to build their roster for not only next year, but for the next coming years.
Yeah. Portal God, Mike, listen, when you're consistently in the 20s in high school recruiting, you better be good in the portal.
Yeah.
It will be interesting. Like you said, Dan, like I understand the patience and you're going to always look at Florida State or Miami or what are our rivals doing? Where are these guys who, I remember their name because they followed their recruitment, and then you just get tied to guys. But like John Grenard was like, okay, he was a good player at Louisville. Gets to Florida, has a healthy season, new environment, new atmosphere. Is a monster. Hendon Hooker was like whatever. He was just okay at Virginia Tech. Goes to Tennessee. Was in the Heisman race until getting hurt. You never know how a guy is going to or how much just a change of scenery might affect a guy. A different scheme, getting a new coaching staff, getting getting coached maybe even the same way, but hearing it differently from a different voice and how that can affect and change a player. So, you know, like I'm not high on Caleb Banks. Maybe Caleb Banks shows up and is a stud, a start, and ends up being a starter. Like I don't see it right now, but you don't know what you're going to get out of the transfer portal.
I'm interested in Caleb Banks because like all the lack of film and even like there's not a whole lot out there about him, but SEC programs were offering this kid.
Yeah.
So that just intrigues me. You know what I'm saying? I know that's because of practice film they're putting out there, and
sure,
people had and these staffs are calling other staffs as well, mm-hmm, once they're in the portal to see, you know, what's what. But I am the offers just mean a lot. Like who are after these kids? And it's a different vibe than transferring years ago. Now it's kids that are from successful programs that are playing really well in transferring. Like I was saying, at Memphis and Utah, mm-hmm, State and a lot of these other schools, they had good years, and their players are like, you know what, I want to go to a better situation to improve my draft stock. So that type of transfer is a little bit different. Quarterback is usually where you're getting that transfer that's trying to, you know, rebuild his. And the depth chart's there a little bit unfriendly with that position. But second chances with a quarterback is a different era, bro. And I'm not saying that Mercy is going to turn things around, but there's nothing. You look at these other guys, bro, like Bo Nix, man. I got Bo Nix. Legendary tweets out there by Bo Nix, man. Yeah. Some hilarious work. And he wasn't perfect, and he did play in the Pac-12, but you can see the improvement, even though he's about 30 years old. The best quarterbacks in college football were probably the older guys. So some of these guys got COVID years. Who Mertz played for in Wisconsin was Paul Chris. You know, he was in a shit show of a situation when it pertains to quarterback development, and offense was just stone age offense. So there's a lot to be seen with, and a lot of unknowns with the transfer portal. It's just like regular recruiting when it comes down to offers and who I'm trying to get this guy from. My man Cameron Jackson was down to us, LSU, Miami type vibe. So you know, this kid could play. Mm-hmm. He's leaving Memphis. He's got tape out there as well. But anywho, I don't know how I got there.
Yeah, no, you're good. Let's parlay this into a recruiting conversation on the high school ranks. But as always, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. If you saw Ben Chase, he was recently at the Fiesta Bowl wearing his TCU sweatshirt that said Frogs on it from Home Field Apparel. If you're looking for things like that, over 70 schools, they added about 30 of them this year. If you're looking for sweaters, t-shirts, any sort of vintage wear of your University of Florida Gators, or maybe an alma mater of a friend, family member, spouse, whoever it might be, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, and you will get 15% off of your order. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. All right, so we are in All-American game week. And right now,
I do want to read Rob's take. Rob, that's a fair take too. The issue is our staff haven't shown that they can develop guys on defense. So I don't have any hope. You should have, like, don't give up hope, but I'm with you. I'm with you, man. We didn't bring any defensive guys over from Louisiana in either, right? Mm-hmm. I think we wanted a couple, but we didn't.
Wanted our cornerback, that went to LSU, whose name I'm forgetting right now. But I don't think that there was a lot of activity from that defensive side of the ball.
Right.
But the Under Armour All-American game is happening in Orlando this week. We have the Gators with, I believe, 10 different players that will be at that.
Tire game, bro.
Yep. So let's see a dozen. I'm sorry, it's 12 total that we'll be playing in All-American games. 10 in the Under Armour game. That will be quarterback Jaden Rashada, Eugene Wilson, who will not be participating but is there and is considered an All-American. Offensive lineman Nyjah Harris, who is playing center, I believe. Roger Kearney, who is playing. Defensive lineman Kelby Collins and Will Norman. Will Norman's having himself a week as well. Defensive backs Dijon Johnson, who is not participating but is still an All-American. Sharif Denson, who is playing well. Jakeem Jackson, who is holding it down. And Jordan Castell are all there as well. And in the Let's see.
Soak, you're giving him a pronoun? You're giving Jakeem a pronoun? He is him.
I got him on him watch.
Him watch. Okay. We need a weekly segment, and if you want to sponsor it, let us know. But it's Silk's him watch.
Him watch.
Him watch of the week.
A lot of that. It's been a lot of that spring, and then we got our evals of the new 2024 class and whatnot. But Jakeem is on him watch. I think he's going to be on the level of the Janoris, Joe Hayden type vibes, and they got the campus, man. We'll see what's up, but I think very highly of this kid.
Yeah, no, and Caden Jones is there as well. Let's talk a little bit about them. Jakeem Jackson right now having probably about as strong of a tournament practice as you're going to have, making some great interceptions, some great PBUs. I've said it multiple times, and this is
one from Jay Rashada, baby.
Yeah.
Caught a touchdown and a pick, by the way. But he caught a touchdown. That was pretty fly.
Some Travis Hunter vibes. Jaden Rashada's put the ball accurate and on the deep ball there for Jaden Rashada. Jakeem Jackson, I'm going to say this. I said this even before Cormani McClain announced where he was going. So no sour grapes here that I have been told that some regard Jakeem Jackson as the best cornerback in the country, at least in the state of Florida, into next season out of high school.
You're just a salty Gator fan, Dan. That's it.
Seven months ago, Nick.
They're just drinking your tears, Dan. That's what they're doing.
Well, all I know is, Jakeem Jackson didn't get burned on a play and then just quit for the entire week. So that's just, you know.
We just had a report come out from On3.
Jay Rashada dropped a dime, man. I wasn't. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. And another thing too, who I'm high on, like don't take that as like anything as gold or anything. I'm a podcast. I'm a fanatic at the same time. But I wasn't that high on Jay Rashada. I didn't see what the hype was all about. I'm starting to learn what the hype is about a little bit this week. He's dropping some dimes out the sky.
It seems a really accurate deep ball. For me, you got to put on weight. Like he's thin. Got to put on some weight. I think the reports I was reading out of Under Armour and talking to Corey Bender, just maybe when the pocket isn't clean, the accuracy isn't there when he has to move. I mean, listen, you're 18 years old. You got a long way to go in terms of development. But on Silk's Jakeem note, our Charles Power on three just posted his top five players from Sunday's practice, and Jakeem was number three. So he's been the top defensive back for team speed. Also, I forget too. So like he played a lot of wide receiver, might still be like newish.
Yeah, I think this is only his second year, right?
Unnamed player up through there when they played Lakeland at receiver. If I'm not mistaken, Jakeem got off on that game.
Okay.
I think he's definitely
is that Kathleen High School in Lakeland, or was it
the one that Ahmad works at?
Okay.
Nah, him Keem Jackson don't care. Him Keem Jackson don't care about none of that. Yeah, back coaching. Him Keem Jackson. That's his name now, bro. Him Keem.
That's a wild ass name. So, him.
So Sunday, they wrote he won most of his one reps, locked horns with a 5-star tight end, Deuce Robinson in the end zone, came away with a pick after jumping the route. Him Keem, having been a two way guy, you're going to be able to focus now just in on cornerback at Florida, get to work under Corey Raymond, learn under Corey Raymond. Very high on him as well. Maybe not as high as Silk, but I mean, Silk might be his uncle. I don't even know what's happening here. The way Silk's got this man crush going.
I don't lie about DBs. Okay, man. I stand on it. What do you think about Sharif Denson out there? What's the word on my man Sharif? I want to talk about the article that he had with somebody. I think it was the Athletic.
The Athletic.
But how's Sharif looking out there?
I think Corey's liked him a little bit. We should have gotten Corey on the show.
Yeah, good.
I know that he's had a couple PBUs. Let me see if I can
set him out. I don't have the information for you guys. I'm leaving.
Yeah, Deuce. Let me see if I can't find it. Silk.
I do physically. Both of them guys look impressive. I was watching the interviews and watching the photos from this week, and physically, man, they just look the part. And then once the film come on, you'll see what's what. But both of those guys look like they're ready. I'm not one that's ready to go crazy corner heavy in the portal. I think what we got on campus with Kimber, I think he was would have had a better season had his hand not been in the cast. Devin Moore is going to be a possible All-American out there. He's very good. He got injured as well. With those two coming back health and they're healthy, you got Marshall, and then these freshmen I think could play. I don't think we got to go. I wouldn't mind getting one, but I don't think we got to even go in the portal for a corner, to be real with you.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. Pulling up Sharif Denson here. Nice little PBU here. Would have liked to see his head get around, but still knocked the ball there out at the end right there. And then here forces the QB to go through some progressions and throws a pick.
Footwork is just it's just fire. I'm going to be real with you. I watched a lot of his just drills and a lot of like camp stuff and the workouts out there. His footwork, I don't know who he's working with, but he has very good footwork. From a maturity standpoint, I don't have that article from The Athletic, but hearing his article and him articulate himself and how he handled the process, a very mature guy. I think he's going to play early as well in that secondary. And I think the expectations for him to start out at the nickel spot and then possibly move out from there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. G. Allen Taylor, who writes for The Athletic, friend of the program, wrote an article about Sharif Denson, about NIL, about the Under Armour All-American game, about culture, a couple different things. Silk, you, I'll kind of run through. Sharif Denson and Trevez Johnson, who did enter the portal, were roommates over there at Bartram Trail in Jacksonville. Originally, he's ranked as the 228th nationally best player. And I'm going to try to see where Nick is. So I'm going to be bouncing screens back and forth. 228th national player on the 247 composite, among 9 Gator signees invited to the Under Armour All-American game. Picked up the, talked a little bit about NIL strategy at Florida. Doesn't feel like Miami's NIL strategy is strong, and that doesn't, you know, there's not much more to it other than offering money. He said, I feel like over a long period of time, Florida's going to be able to have stability and be a good program. I don't know if I can say the same about Miami. At Miami, the NIL factor is so big, you just don't know if they're going to drop out or how much money they have. But I know at UF, what they say you're going to get, you're really going to get, seems like a pretty important quote to me. But certainly I got some Miami fans irate there. When talking
believe
about
the kids, man, believe yep, the kids.
Yeah. When talking about Cormani McClain, he said, dude is just a different guy. At one point he was a Florida lock, and then he was a Miami commit. But now he's not going. I hope the best for him because that's my friend, but he's just got to go somewhere and work. That's the only way you can get what you want there. He mentioned that he is being coached by Tony, to play in the nickel position, and then by Corey Raymond as an outside cornerback there. But anything else from this article that you guys found interesting, or anything else about the Under Armour All-American game that we can chat about?
This whole week's kind of weird. Like the last Under Armour week I went to was like the Dalvin Cook year. And like early signing day has like changed just like the attention on this week, because now all these dudes are signed, but it gives you the opportunity, like Florida, this is like the Florida Bama recruit signee showcase game. Bama's got 12, Florida's got 10. And dudes are showing out, but I kind of miss the drama and the attention. I feel like these All-American games have kind of lost some of the allure because all these guys are now signed. You know, you used to be like, hey, Florida's got 5 guys in this and they've got 4 targets. How many can you get? I think we've lost some of the kind of the shine on these All-American games because of the early signing period. Where in the world is Ben Chase?
Where is Ben Chase? Caden Jones, again, we talked a little bit about it. Will it be announcing where he's going? He is between Florida and Texas A&M. Every player, I think, but Najee Harris are on team speed.
I had to think about that article. I think now we can all like look at that a little rational, right? Cromartie's recruitment. Outside, what Sharif Denson said regarding Miami, the NIL process. You can see how a young kid could be lured in all of that, and how they approached him with. Sure. He said they wasn't even showing up to his practice in the spring game and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but they was just offering money. So you could tell it wasn't like a culture of recruiting to get these kids. And I think Rashada's went down the same way when they got him. It was more of a it's an ego thing going on between these guys. And I think Ruiz is trying to go after a lot of people that Florida's want. I don't even know if it's Mario want these guys. A lot of time it's some ego stuff going on. But I think in hindsight, we can see a lot of people blame the staff on like missing a Gator lock and all of this. And there was a lot of bad PR around missing Cromartie McClain. But as all the drama has played out, we get to see a lot of just like character in all of this, right? And the guys that stuck, they speaking on the same thing. This is not coming from your favorite podcaster. It's not coming from the University of Florida. This is coming from his peers. In that article, Denson said, I'm his friend. But I think he has a lot of going on and just wasn't buying it. So shout out to Denson just for, you know, going his own route, doing his own thing, standing on his own too. We got some good defensive backs in that room, some guys that with some that's coming here to be a culture, not coming here for a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, a lot of other great things being said here by players that are there. Najee Harris said that I for sure wasn't going to Florida when talking about if Dan Mullen was still a coach. They weren't going to be in my top schools. Situation abruptly changed with Billy Napier. I was saying that he's a lot more genuine, and I've seen what they've done with Osiris Torrance and the guys from the University of Louisiana that they put in the NFL. Roger Kearney said we're all like-minded. We all want to be great. There are some guys in the recruiting process who don't have the same type of goals. And let's see. He talked about wanting to recruit Caden Jones, who, like I said, is going to be announcing his commitment at the game there in Orlando.
He's the Adidas game.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's at the Adidas game. You're right. And let's see. Don't see much else to talk about in this game. You know, Will Norman is a guy who I think has shown out quite a bit more than maybe fans had expected out of him. You know, he was called, you know, overweight or needed to fix his body up a bit, maybe a little bit lazy by out some people. Say what?
BBL.
Yeah, but he comes in and is having a great week there in Orlando as well. So Will Norman, a guy that you know, committed to the Gators a while ago, kind of did his recruiting under the radar there, had originally committed to, I believe, UCF, but you know, comes in and is having a good week there in Orlando. So we'll see how he does.
He dropped quite a bit in his rankings,
quite
and
a bit.
Even I think most of us behind the scenes were kind of questioning, like, I know most of his recruiting stuff was on like potential and ceiling of what he could be. But seeing him produce out there this week with all those studs is definitely impressive. I wasn't expecting that. I was one of those ones that thought he needed more developing and wasn't, you know, that ready to compete on that level. But clearly he is, man. So that's a good sign.
It's a great sign. And finally, in recruiting, cornerback Charles Lester III named his top five. He's at a Riverview High in Sarasota. Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, and Ohio State are those. And then, Nick, you just dropped one in there for Stacy Gage, running back out of Wharton High School there in Tampa, Florida, class of 2024. Four-star guy, depending on where you're looking, high four-star or mid four-star, depending on the website. But he just announced his top eight of Florida, Miami, Penn State, Oklahoma, where he has a couple crystal balls, Ohio State, Alabama, South Carolina, and Dion's Colorado Buffaloes.
Who's the one, Silk? The IMG running back, 24.
Jarek Gibson?
Yes. Yeah. I think if we're looking at the 24 class this next cycle, I think it's a two running back class for sure.
Yeah, Jarek Gibson guy previously committed to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already got a running back for 24, 5-6-1.
Yep. Yes, the Gators do have. Sorry, let me just pull this up so I don't misspeak on everything that he has. Yep, the Gators have Chauncey Bowens from the Benjamin School in North Palm Beach. He's a 4-star guy there. So I still think
big body Benz, Nick. True, bro. I'm telling you, man. That kid can play some football, man. Downhill running.
That's
nipping for his size. Good work there, man.
That's Kyrie's old school, right?
Kyrie, Jordan Travis.
Thielen.
They get a couple studs out of the city.
How old is Jordan Travis?
34. I went to high school with him. I'm just playing. I don't know. He graduated the same year as Kyrie. He's about to play another year in college. Think about that.
Yeah.
We did get a super chat question. Happy New Year. Would you take a 10-2 season with a 12th ranked 24 class or a 5-7 season with a top 3 class?
10-2 season.
This coming year? This coming year?
Yeah, this upcoming year.
This is the thing. I think like you got so many dynamics to put in that, but I'm just gonna keep it a being honest. They should be enjoying their 10-win season, right? And them people don't have a lot to celebrate in the last since Jimbo left, right? It's been a minute. So they should be celebrating that. But as somebody that had Dan Mullen and 10 wins and finishing in 12-13 and recruiting, not beating and not seeing a way for us to get to the level where we compete for national championships, bro. No, I just don't want a 24 ranked class, man. I don't want a subpar recruiter. I got a mediocre recruiter. I know I'm dead in the water in college football. You just can't.
Yeah.
Well, this would be a 12th ranked class in the class of 2024, not the 24 ranked class. 12th ranked. Yeah. 10-2, 12th ranked class, or 5-7 in top 3 class.
Oh, 10-2, 12th.
Yeah,
24 class.
So you,
I think what he's saying, would you rather have Florida go 10-2 next year with the 12th ranked class for the 2024 cycle, or go 5-7 and have a top 3 class?
For a top 3 class, give me 5-7 for a top 3 class. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I don't want no 12th ranked class. You're just not closing the gap on Georgia and getting where you need to be. You seen Georgia play last night, bro? They got killers everywhere. Yeah. Stetson Bennett, I'm going to give him his props because he's one of the best college football quarterbacks. Like, just on paper, you got to give him his props, right?
Yep.
Hey, man.
That's wild.
I'm just saying, on paper, he's one of them guys, dog. Like, as far as accomplishment, he played with the Avengers and shit, but he got some accomplishments. you're able to get a mailman, a guy walk-on quarterback, and surround him with just absolute dogs, man. Mm-hmm. The best athletes in college football. When Georgia was down, I just knew they was going to win that game. I didn't get out and tweet because I was like, bruh, unless they go up 3 scores, it's like Georgia's going to pull this out, man, because they just got guys, Arian Smith, like killers, that's been running crazy 100-meter times, and that's the type of stuff we got to get in here. If not, bro, you just not doing anything. You celebrating the shit that Florida State celebrating, dropping confetti in Orlando for meaningless games.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
I think so. Well, my realistic thought is that Florida is that's not a 10-win team. That's not a 10-win roster. If you've got Florida winning 10 games next year, we need to schedule an intervention because there might be some substances in your life that. You need, but everything Silk said is exactly what you need. You're not catching Georgia. A 10-2 might be fool's gold. Sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. You 10-2, just missed the SEC East. Just missed the SEC East Championship. Look, Billy's building. That 12th ranked class isn't catching Texas or Texas A&M. Isn't catching LSU, Georgia, Alabama. You need to start landing and getting classes that are on par or better than the teams you're trying to chase. If you're on par with the teams you're trying to chase, you might not be catching them. You might have to out-recruit them a couple of years. Georgia doesn't look like the Avengers just because they've had a good recruiting class. Georgia looks like the Avengers because Kirby had three straight number one recruiting classes, four out of five. So Florida is in, and I don't know if fans want to hear this, like 2022 might have been year zero. Like, this is a longer rebuild, I think, than a lot of us want to admit.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with both of you. You've got to be able to close a gap at some point, and I'd rather have some opportunities to enjoy the boat or to enjoy doing other things rather than hoping that my team wins. And, you know, you give me that false sense of security. We've seen the false sense of security for the last few years and what that can mean and building a program for the long haul. But, boys, unless you guys have anything else, I think I have Song of the Week, and we'll get out of here and celebrate the rest of our New Year's Day.
No, that's it, man. I don't think I have anything else, man. I got a logo talk coming. I do want to get, like, a real who I like in the portal, because I started digging. There's some names out there. But until then, man, hey, happy New Year to everybody. Be safe. Nick, what you got?
I'm just chilling. I got to drive back up to I'll be like Dan. I'll be in the car tomorrow on the way back up to lovely Gainesville. I'm wearing a hoodie, but, like,
where you at?
Winter died in South Florida. I'm down in Weston at the parents' house.
Oh, that's right. You came down south. Nice. Mm.
All right. I'm going to give a shout out to, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Another great year ahead for Stadium and Gale. A lot of guests. I know a lot of you guys have been asking for interviews and things of that nature. We are going to be working on building out a ton of new guests to bring on to the show in the off season here. So stay tuned for that. We will be back to recording on Mondays next week. And then I want to give a quick shout out to my boy, Zach Bryan. Not really boys in real life just yet, but as you guys know, I've been pumping his tires for years now. I was active duty military for, I think, about 6 years. Just retired last year.
Pumping his tire? Where's that come from?
I got it from, like, playing. It was just like a hockey thing that we used, but just pumping his tires means just, you know, just
gassing him up.
Gassing him up, feeding his ego a bit. Zach Bryan is on tour full time now. He did his first performance at Red Rocks last spring, I believe. He entitled that live album that he performed there from Red Rocks called All My Homies Hate Ticketmaster. So because of Zach Bryan, the first song that introduced me to him years ago was a song called Heading South. So we'll play Heading South by Zach Bryan. And boys, we'll see you guys at the same corner, same time next week. Same corner, different time next week.
Nicholas Mertz said he'll see you when you get to Gainesville, Nick.
Bro, I'm catching fades. I'm catching fades in the comments section.
I can see it. Finally.
To the Mertz Hive, man. Mertz Hive is live, baby.
I love it.
Same corner, same time.
Same corner, same time. We'll see you boys next week.
Was a boy who was a dreamer, and he flew so high and proud. In a world full of people out, cut his young ass down. No one ever understood a single word he said, and it cast him to the wolves when he wasn't well and fed. Boys, we've got a riser. A riser in our midst. He would get the last lap. It's the last thing he did. And he used to roll around in that red dirt mud. But now he's skipping town, and that riser's out for blood. Don't stop going south, 'cause they'll let you play your music real damn loud. Don't stop heading south. They won't understand the words that are pouring from your mouth. Then that boy, he called his daddy to tell him what he did. as the masses screamed the lyrics of a messed up kid. And then he told that old man he was never coming back to be cut down again in a town like that. Then he surely came to learn people come to watch you fall, but he's out to make a name and a fool out of them all. They'll never understand that boy and his kind. All they comprehend is a fucking dollar sign. So don't stop going south, 'cause they'll let you play your music real damn loud. Don't stop heading south, 'cause they won't understand the words that are pouring from your mouth. Don't stop going south, they won't understand the words that are pouring from your mouth. Don't stop going south, 'cause they'll let you scream your music real damn loud.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.